Think mediation will be a quick, easy fix for your divorce? The truth may surprise you. Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life. This week, we had Julie Roundtree on the show, and we had a great conversation about what makes a mediation successful, what makes it difficult or challenging, and what clients often don't realize before they walk in. I hope this episode is valuable to anyone who might be listening. Stay tuned for the full episode. Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, Julie Roundtree is joining us. Julie is an attorney, divorce coach, and has worked with us at Florida Women's Law Group for over 10 years in a few different roles. Today, Julie and I will be discussing what makes a mediation successful and what makes it difficult or challenging. Welcome, Julie.
All right, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So happy to have you, and I'm really excited to talk about this topic. So for our listeners, Julie, will you just share a little bit about yourself and really how you got to where you are today?
Sure. So I've been practicing family law for several years. And in that time, you know, always looking for another way, a better way to help our clients through the whole family law process. So at times I wore the mediator hat, which we'll get into, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'm also a divorce coach, which means I'm working with clients more on the emotional side of divorce. You know, during my time practicing law in litigation, being in the courtroom, I found that so many of our clients' questions and concerns and challenges weren't necessarily legal ones, right? And so it gave me the opportunity to focus on that part of family law and help them through the emotional part so we could focus on litigation and getting the case resolved and moving them through to their next new chapter.
Yeah, that is great. And that's one of the reasons why you're such a great guest, because you have been in it for a while and seen it from so many different aspects. And that's what I think will be such a value to our listeners today. There was a time when you had just a whole mediation practice, right? Before you came to work with us at the very beginning, right?
Sure. I was focusing my career on mediation, really sort of specializing in pro se parties that weren't represented by attorneys and trying to help them through the divorce process by trying to find a creative resolution, a way to settle their case outside of court.
And then you came to us and took on, you know, more a shift from that. I mean, you participated in mediation, but love for you to explain our listeners how like it was different than once you were representing clients and attending mediation.
Right. So definitely wearing two different hats. As a mediator, you know, I'm of course neutral, and I think it's super important for our listeners to understand that if they do head into mediation, of course, without attorneys, the mediator cannot provide legal advice. So even if they know the answer, right, like me, there's a lot of practicing attorneys that are also mediators. So we might be sitting in that chair knowing the answer, but we're prohibited from giving that legal advice. So I always, you know, would like to see the listeners who have a contested case, maybe a high conflict case, really have an advocate, an attorney by their side as they go through the process. So it was a little different for me being an attorney and a mediator at the same time, but definitely really, really helped me as a mediator. And then, of course, like you said, as an attorney, when I'm sitting kind of on the other side, being an advocate for my client, it really, really helped me on both sides of that, for sure. And I enjoyed every step of wearing both of those hats, for sure.
Well, and it really is such a great asset to the clients, because you do know it from that neutral perspective, right? Well, all of us as the attorneys, we've been to mediation, but I've only been in my room.
That's right.
Right. And I can only imagine.
It is really different. So in this capacity, I'm of counsel. I am really meeting with our potential clients who haven't hired us yet. And I have the amazing opportunity to just first hear their story, listen to their stories of how they got to us, right? Mm-hmm. How did they get to this appointment? And let's talk through it. And as they're sharing their concerns, their challenges, and there's a lot of emotion there, but I'm listening and I'm kind of sifting through and issue spotting, right? I'm sort of finding the legal issues that we need to definitely set up a roadmap and we need to address and we need to come up with a strategy to get them through this divorce, of how we're going to handle it in court, maybe how we're going to handle it in mediation. You know, it's basically listening to the story, she's spotting, and finding a way to resolve this for that potential client.
And, you know, what does that normally look like for the women, you know, when they're going through a divorce? You know, what are a lot of those women going through that you've observed?
Right. This is a lot of emotion. They're feeling every emotion, right? Some of them are feeling betrayal due to their spouse's new relationship or infidelity. A lot of them are grieving a long lost, you know, marriage, right? They had this expectation of a long, healthy marriage, and that's now ending. And so, you know, we work through that part of it, of course. A lot of my job is really, really listening and really empowering them, because like you said, I'm one of the first that they talk to, and I want them to know that this really is a goal-oriented process. So I'm going to ask you, what do you want out of this divorce? Yeah. And I often get the response, and no attorney's ever asked me, you know, you're the third attorney I've met with, and no one's really asked me what I want. And we want to know. It is so important that our legal team knows exactly where you want to be when this is resolved. And I think once they start to sort out what they're looking for, it really gives them that clarity, that confidence to move forward. Into their next chapter, for sure.
Want to start with the basics. If you'll explain for our listeners, what is mediation? And then like what it means in Florida, because mediation is the same thing, but in Florida, there are some different differences that may not be present in other states.
So mediation is, to sort of break it down, is really your opportunity to come to an agreement with your spouse, let's say if you're going through a divorce, outside of court. Right? This is a confidential process. So it is also pretty informal compared to going to trial. So in mediation, we are, you know, we're going to be very active participants. Husband and wife are really going to be very active in this process and really not talking about what they want, but why. You know, the mediator should do a really good job of digging deep and saying, okay, why are you looking for this? And so this process, again, we like to think it's less stressful and less emotional than going to a trial. And going back to being a good participant here, as you know, Heather, from your many trials, our clients really, this isn't a chance to chit chat, right? Where, you know, you're only allowed to talk when maybe your attorney is asking you questions on direct examination. Maybe you're being cross-examined by opposing counsel. And maybe the judge has some follow-up questions after all of that testimony. But that's it. You hope once you've presented all of your evidence at that trial that the judge heard it and understood it, and that the result is favorable to you. So in mediation, you get to participate a little bit more, and you and your spouse have a hand in literally writing your ending, right? So when we leave that mediation conference, you know the outcome of your case, and there's no more risk. There's no more mystery of what the judge might rule. And you, of course, avoid an outcome where the judge rules and neither of you are happy with it. But I always say, no matter how high conflict the case, no matter what the pending issues are, mediation is a great step here and ideal for writing your own ending, coming to an agreement. And we often hear from our clients, that is the most my spouse and I ever worked together. That's the most we've ever cooperated, you know, right, to finalize this, especially if you have children. And I also wanted to add that if you do agree on this, it's a wonderful platform to jump from while we're talking about parenting, co-parenting. And I strongly feel that the parties are more likely to follow an agreement that they came up with mm-hmm. than one that was imposed on them by a judge who, at the end of the day, is essentially a stranger to your case, yes. right? Doesn't understand your family makeup like you do. And so no matter what the issues are, I'd love clients to give it their good faith effort, and the court mm-hmm. will expect that as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, just because this popped in my head, you know, and the judge is essentially a stranger, but I will tell you, listeners, if he's not, because you've been so much in front of him, sometimes that happens. And, right. and he feels like he knows you and your family all too well because there's been so much litigation. That's not a great thing either, because he has already got preconceived ideas, usually, that you two are both difficult. Every now and then, it takes a lot to really show as there's only one player. And we all feel like that. Oh, it's only him. However, in the court's eyes, it usually is. Maybe it might be, you know, more, you know, maybe a 70-30 instead of a 50-50.
Right.
However, if the judge is really familiar with your case, I don't think that's a great sign at all. Like, you've spent thousands and thousands of dollars at that point if he's that familiar with your case, right?
You said it. And mediation, I know we talked about it being less stressful and less emotional, and I'm glad you brought that up because it is certainly less expensive than heading to a trial. So, yes. and I agree. I don't know if I would want a judge to remember my name when it pops up on the docket. I would prefer. Now, listen, hey, we do need the judge to resolve some things. Like you said, if we have one party that's being completely uncooperative and mm-hmm. not giving a good faith effort to settle this, I think the judge is going to know which party that is at a trial, right? I think that would be pretty obvious. So, and I also believe that the more reasonable party, the more cooperative party is the one that gets the better result, the more favorable outcome in court.
Yes.
You know, so I definitely want to be that person at a trial. So we do use our judges, of course, to resolve conflict where we're unable to do it. But mediation is such a significant step in a good place, a good opportunity to resolve it on your own.
Yes. Now, I'm going to share a couple things. So, you know, one, in Florida, it's required. So for our listeners, you know, if you've heard the other shows, I don't know what other states it's required in and mandatory in a family law case, but the majority, it is not. The majority of states, it has to be a mutually agreed upon thing. So that's where Florida differs. I think that gives us an advantage, is giving all of the individuals going through a divorce an advantage, because you're going, and Julie and I both know, we have both been situations where we've been in a case and it has been high conflict, and we're going to mediation and we're telling the rest of the office, I'll probably be back at half of the day. Like, this is going to be a very, very difficult case to settle. And that's the one that, like, at 8 o'clock at night, yes. I'm letting the office, like, no, I think we have an agreement. And that has happened more often than not. So it can happen, but without a mandatory requirement to go, and excellent mediators and you know, and lawyers involved in that case.
Like, absolutely.
It takes the whole group, but it can happen. And so I do want for our listeners to know, I think it's a really good thing that we have that requirement, because otherwise the majority of our people would spend years and so many dollars just
and
trying to get
money.
This case closed. You know, it's time and money. And really, that's the thing we have, you know, a finite amount of is our time. And I feel to myself, for our clients, that they want, I want closure for them. I feel like I know this has got to be very difficult. And so, you know, if you can get to mediation, that's a great thing. And the odds are high. Now, sometimes it may require two. I've been in cases that required three, but the parties knew that it was the best way to resolve it, because they just weren't going to get the resolution they wanted, either one of them, in front of a court, in front of the judge.
Sure. This is our opportunity also to be very creative and work in some provisions that may not come up in court, or the judge may be reluctant to rule on. But if we're all getting together and deciding these provisions should be part of the judgment, then we write them in, the parties sign off on it, the judge signs off on it, it's now court ordered and enforceable. And we can be very creative and agree on things that a judge might gloss over, right? Or feel that they're not going to touch it. They're not going to touch that issue. They won't order anything. So,
and, yeah, it's that. And that's a big thing because, right, the things, there are some things, really going back to that question you ask women that are in our office, just, you know, when they're trying to make that decision or the divorce is happening. So they're just trying to figure out who's going to help me. And when you ask them, what do you want? Right. It goes back to that, because sometimes the things that you want, we're going to have to be creative if we're going to achieve that. There's going to have to be an agreement if you want something really special.
Very true. And I want the listeners to know as well, like you've already told them, you're likely headed to mediation in this journey, but it's not required that you come to an agreement. But the court, you know, again, expects that you make a good faith effort while you're there and work, both of you, both parties work hard to come to an agreement. But the mediator is not, you know, what we call a fact finder or a judge, and cannot impose any agreement or any ruling on you. So at that point, you know, I guess we could call it a voluntary process, but the court does expect that you attend and give a good faith effort to, like I said, write your own ending.
Yes. And now we're going to get into a little bit. I want to share with our listeners and, you know, Julie knows this as well, because our practice has evolved, but as a younger attorney, I was gung-ho for litigation, and I was ready to go to court. And that fared very well in the cases that needed it, right? I mean, of course, I still, you know, appreciated mediation, and I knew it was helpful. But in all these many years, 20 years, recently, a few years ago, and, you know, we'll put in the show notes, you know, where we talk about the changes in the law, you know, there's been an evolution. The law has changed significantly in Florida. In family law. And, you know, we've had a lot of judges roll, you know, new judges come on, right? The old guard have retired and moved on. And that brings new perspectives, new interpretations. And even though there's new judges, maybe not necessarily in quantity. So it takes so long in many cases to get a resolution in front of some of particular judges that have maybe more of a caseload. And so I used to promote, like, hey, we can always go to trial. And of course, we still can.
Sure.
But I want our listeners to know that with the changes in the law, with how slow it has become, and how we know some judges are less inclined to make decisions rapidly than others, I really, really believe that it is in your best interest to go to mediation when you have all the information necessary and work so hard to get to an agreement, not cave on everything, ignore what your lawyer says, right? But it's really possible to get in there and get a good agreement. And I feel like now, and I may not have, and I still, if your husband's unreasonable and just unwilling, like, then it doesn't happen, right? Right. And ladies, just so you know, we can't tell the judge, right? Everything that happens in mediation is confidential. Oh, good faith effort. They didn't do a good faith effort. Okay, well, that stays, you know, just between the parties. You can't talk about it. But I just am so, I want our listeners to understand that doesn't mean I'm not ready to advocate for you and we don't fully, you know, represent you, but there are so many times where it's going to be so much better if we can really hash it out in mediation, even if we have to break it up by issues, because I just find that some of the things aren't as favorable as they used to be, or maybe aren't as much the unknown. And when you have good facts and you can litigate, you feel like you have more of an opportunity to prevail. I just think that mediation, like, is something I really want our listeners to fully understand how, you know, it can help you. So to start, Julie, what do you think women should do to prepare? Like, from your mediator hat perspective.
So preparation here is key, is so significant. Your attorney should be preparing for mediation like they are preparing for trial. We need to have all the puzzle pieces, because we can't pull a number out of the air here, and the mediator certainly won't either. So important that for our listeners who know that they would likely be seeking some type of alimony or spousal support, we definitely need to know our need. What do we need? What do we spend currently? And let's not forget those post divorce expenses that are going to pop up, right? The big ones we typically see are going to be health insurance. Maybe you're typically covered under your spouse's employer-sponsored plan. We know that's going to end when the divorce is final. You know, cell phone, car insurance, things like that. These expenses are going to be popping up, and we need to account for every single one so we have an excellent idea of what you're going to need moving forward, right? So, you know, I talk to so many women who are like, I don't know what I need. Well, you're not expected to. And that's the attorney's job to walk you through and really come up with a budget of what's going to happen, not just current, you know, not just temporarily, but post-divorce once the dust has settled. So really being prepared and knowing your bottom line there, what's your bottom line when it comes to alimony? You need to know that. A lot of times as a mediator, there was a marital business involved, you know, and parties come in and nobody knows what it's valued at. And that's really hard when you don't have those types of numbers. So you want to make sure that you have all the puzzle pieces in order, because it's so unlikely that you will settle if, you know, there's a lot of more questions than answers, right? So being prepared, absolutely the key here, for sure.
Now, let's talk about this, because many people and many of our listeners, we know we've heard from many individuals, many women before. Oh, my husband said, we're just going to go mediate. We're just going to work it out. And what if they don't know the things you just said? Like, you need to know your bottom line. You need to know your numbers. What would you say to women who are like, no, my husband says we're just going to go work it all out?
And I hear it a lot. And, you know, hey, maybe it is a spouse who says, let's not pay the attorneys. We can settle this ourselves. But if our listener is in a position where they don't share a joint account, maybe they don't see husband's pay being deposited, they don't have a pulse on the finances, maybe they're even provided a stipend or some type of allowance by husband, they can swipe that card, right? But they don't have access to an account, and again, don't really have a pulse on the finances. That's a red flag for me. You know, the listeners need to know that when you hire an attorney, there's going to be a disclosure, a financial disclosure process, and we need to see, again, all those puzzle pieces before anybody can sit down, come to the table, and come up with an agreement. Again, we're not pulling a number out of the air. We have to have evidence of it, and I want our listeners to know that you can't walk into a mediation, especially without an attorney, and expect that mediator, who cannot provide legal advice, to come up with a sound agreement here.
So, Julie, let's talk a little bit about a certain mindset, documents, or strategies that you think can make a big difference for women in getting ready for mediation.
So when you say mindset, the first thing that pops into my brain is, for our listener, somebody going through mediation, really having their eye on those long-term goals and what that picture looks like for them. And the reason I say that is I work with so many women who maybe felt that pressure to sign or wanted to be done. I was just wanted to be done with him and I wanted to move on. So I signed off on it. And they come to us after, you know, maybe being represented by a different firm or going through this process themselves, and they want to modify it. They want to change it and they want to go back and get a better result. And at that point, at least in Florida, it's sometimes too late, right?
Yeah.
And so when you say mindset, I think, oh my goodness, just hang in there with me, right? Let's go through this. Keep our eye on those long-term goals. Describe to me what it looks like to you in 5 years. You know, what does that picture look like? Where are you? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? I want to know. And I want to make sure that, you know, that stays on the table as these offers are going back and forth, and we are never feeling any pressure to sign, and we're never feeling that pressure to just be done. I understand wanting to find peace, and sometimes our clients feel that the peace is better than money. I get that too. But yeah. Let's all take a deep breath, because you don't want to go back, look back in 2 years and go, oh, gosh, I wish I would have fought a little bit harder for what I deserved after a long-term marriage, after supporting his career and being the homemaker. And now I'm unable to enter the workforce and I'm in a bad spot.
Yeah. I think the mindset and the preparation is really important. So for our listeners, that's where I think, you know, there should be, you know, once you are know you're getting ready for mediation, there should be several conversations. And I think I had a client once tell me, you know, Heather, I want to know, let's agree to like, what is my walk away number, walk away everything. She said, because I know I'm going to get overwhelmed. There's going to be so much there going on. And I think that's a great strategy. I've been employed that with, I was like, okay, you know we have all these issues, but I need to know that, you know, what are the most important things to you? And I think, don't you agree? Like, sometimes that comes down to issues with the children. And as much as we try to prepare for what the other side is gonna, you know, propose, we don't always. And those are sometimes the hardest things for our clients to just accept and then sign, you know, if it's something they just didn't envision.
This is where I'm advising. Hey, what are your top three or four priorities? What are your non-negotiables? Mediation, we are going to give up a little bit on something, right? Yeah. We are going to give up. Well, it's part of negotiation. The other side will too. But it's so important that you lock in those non-negotiables. So you mentioned custody. You know, maybe one of our listeners says, hey, the rest I can deal with. The money, fine. It'll fall into place. But having a certain parenting plan, what we call parenting plan in Florida, having a certain schedule with my children. Maybe I want them during the school week. He can have every other weekends. I'm the parent who is more familiar with their school routine, homework routine, scheduling doctor's appointments, going to parent-teacher conferences. I have a better pulse on that, and I want to keep that routine going for them and keep their lives as stable as possible. If that's your number one, okay, let's lock that in. And maybe we give up a little on another issue that you can live with at the end of it when we write it up.
Right. I think some of the most successful mediations, meaning for our client, right, where they felt like they won. And I've explained this is, if we can get this in mediation, we're talking about it. It'll never happen in the courtroom, right? You are getting a cookie cutter parenting plan. Maybe if there's a significant issue within that, that the judge may do something special. But if we can agree to something in mediation that's not going to, that really is unlikely to happen in front of a judge, that is a win. And understanding it is really, I think, very important for us as attorneys to convey for our clients to really hear that. Because that's what makes that successful.
Absolutely. You said it. This is all about knowing what risk you have at a trial and eliminating that risk, removing that risk, right? And this is all going to come down to an experienced and knowledgeable attorney who understands case law, who understands statutes, and maybe has a very good understanding of your judge. Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have considerable experience before your particular judge and have had a similar case. Right. And might have an idea of how your judge would rule. So is it smart to head to court or maybe we're kind of hanging back here in mediation and working our magic, giving up a little on something we don't care as much about to lock in that priority? Mm-hmm. It's all about identifying risk and really also giving the client a reasonable expectation of how all of this could possibly go down.
Yeah, and that's so important. And oftentimes, I think we need to, you as clients, you need to have those conversations with your attorney more than once because it's a lot to process. Yes. You might not hear it all. How about, this just came to me because, you know, when you were talking about locking in, like we've identified what's important. How about maybe you're in mediation and maybe our client, you know, your client's not fully sure on maybe this one financial issue, but they're feeling really good about the agreement in regards to the children. How about partial agreements? You know, let's talk a little bit about that for our listeners. Is that possible?
So it certainly is possible. Sometimes we're too far apart on, like you said, for example, the financial part of it, but the parties are making progress on the custody issue and we spend more time on that and we are able to come up with an agreement. So that's great. That means we're locking this in. It's now going to be signed by both parties, enforced by the court. And maybe if we can't resolve the financial part of this at a second mediation conference, then maybe we're limiting now what we're going to trial on. So This could save attorney's fees, right? Because we're not trying all of these issues. And we're just sort of limiting the judge ruling on alimony or reimbursement of attorney's fees or child support, something like that. So yes, it's possible. Now, I take a deep breath here because I want to make sure that agreeing on some of the issues isn't going to hurt the final outcome of the case, right? Mm-hmm. We would never allow a partial agreement if it goes hand in hand with the issues that still haven't been resolved. So we need to be careful when we do come to a partial agreement. But can it happen? And can it be beneficial? Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, and that's where really, you know, understanding what you're looking at, listening to your attorney. I want to talk just briefly because we've both been in those mediations where our client's like, he just seems like he's so against us, right? And I'm saying we have a lot of male mediators, we have a lot of female mediators. So you could be saying like, she just seems so against us. From the mediator's perspective, will you just share with the listeners why it may feel like that? Like mediators coming in, they're on his side.
Yes.
Because our clients, they've said that to us more than once.
Of course. And the biggest complaint I hear, you know, with this whole issue is the mediator spending way more time with the other side.
Yes.
And I will tell you every single time it's because the other side is not prepared. They've come in. They don't have an offer prepared. In our jurisdiction, the petitioner, typically we start with them. That just sometimes happens. They're not prepared. They're not ready to send over an initial offer. Maybe they haven't even met with their attorney prior to this date, and they don't know their bottom line. They don't know what they're looking for. Maybe there's a lot of emotion here. Maybe they're overwhelmed and too emotional to sit down and really articulate to the mediator what they want, right? Mm-hmm. And so that creates a scenario where the mediator is spending, you know, sometimes 45 minutes, an hour, where when he or she is in our room, we are very clear as to what we want. We're very organized, we're succinct, and we're ready to resolve it. So, but that does often feel like the mediator is spending more time and on their side. So that's a big one that I hear.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I've told clients in the past. Like they're just obviously they're not ready emotionally, mentally, or maybe just like financially. And this is like I said, though, but I don't know, right? Because I'm not over there. So all I can suppose, and, you know, from my point of view, I'm like, listen, ladies, we're ready because we did the work and those guys are clueless. Or sometimes your husband is so resistant or unable to accept the reality of the finances that are going forward. Many times I think their attorneys are like, whatever, I'll let the mediator work on him because like I can't get him there.
And I've been in that seat too, where maybe we need the mediator to play devil's advocate and really say, you know, this could be an outcome. They can't give legal advice. Can they kind of nudge? Sure. And they do.
Yes.
And sometimes the party who is reluctant to really understand or can't wrap their head around the money part of this does need to hear it from a neutral party, for sure.
Yes. And that does help. And that's why the dynamics of the entire thing, they work because of all those things we've talked about. And, you know, as your attorney, we know where our weak spots are and we know the other side, but we are advocating for you. And sometimes it is a helpful discourse between your attorney and the mediator, and you'll see them disagree. And I think that's okay, right? At least then you feel confident that they're like, no, they do know what they're talking about. And sometimes the mediators do disagree with us. And we're like, okay, well, you know, we don't think this is going to happen. I know it's happened to both of us before. And they are neutral. And they are entitled to their opinion of how things will go.
That's right. And we work with, you know, we work with the best, of course. And the mediators also know how to go back in that room and reframe what we've said, right? They're not going to say word for word what's said in our room. Yeah. They're going to reframe it in a way that is really going to help sort of bridge the gap there and really get the parties closer in agreement, because that's ultimately their job. And they need to be creative and they need to listen. Yeah. And reframing is a big part of that as well. I know the mediators have a hard job. If they repeated what we said, we probably wouldn't be writing up a whole lot of agreements. You know, they should, these are Supreme Court certified mediators. Mm-hmm. They've done a lot of training. A lot of them are attorneys themselves and understand the law. And they will generally do a good job of not just carrying a message over, but reframing it and being creative to get it, to get the job done.
Absolutely. And that is part of why it takes so long, because there is a lot of psychology involved and why it sometimes feels repetitive, but we've all seen it work. And what's the longest and shortest mediation you've ever seen? And what were the facts that either made it go forever or go swiftly?
Okay, so the longest for me was 2 mediation conferences, meaning we went, you know, probably 10 hours one day and weren't able to resolve it. But the important thing to note is it wasn't an impasse, right? And an impasse is that word we use for our listeners when there is no agreement and the party's next step would be heading to a trial. In this case, it was continued. We scheduled a second day. And you might be surprised that although both parties were, they were very passionate about their positions here, however, right, we were moving. They were baby steps. Mm-hmm. So the progress was slow, but it was happening. And the mediator recognized that and said, I just need one more day. I need one more day and we're going to do it. We came back maybe 10 days later to the table, resumed where we left off, and were able to get it done. And it was a lot of work. And it's a case I'll never forget, right? And it was a lot of work for the mediator and the attorneys, but we were able to do it. And the progress was extremely slow, but it's so important to remember, even in those long mediation sessions, those high conflict cases, if the progress is small, but it's there, we keep going. We keep going because it's still better than the alternative when we have risk, right? Mm-hmm. So shortest mediation for me was one where we were the petitioner, so we did start. We sent the initial offer over, and the other party just, you know, again, we're not in both rooms, so we don't know. But based on what the mediator could disclose, the other party just didn't agree on anything. And the mediator said, okay, that's fine. I get it. Not one thing on this list you agree with. I hear you. But what do you want? But couldn't even articulate a counteroffer, if you will. And that party was so difficult that the mediator just said, I'm going to impasse you guys. Mm-hmm. The mediator knew, even with his expertise, there's nothing I can do in the other room here. We're not going to make any progress. So, and that was, you know, minutes into the mediation.
So. And, you know, for our listeners, right, and like, you know, our clients, they will be really disappointed because we've prepared. We were ready. But I would bet they'll be like, I'm not surprised, because you know this man, right? You were married to him, and it can happen. And so all we can control is what we can. And, you know, we can't control the other person. And that can happen, unfortunately. But, you know, that is the way it is.
It is. And you're right on. That's exactly what we felt, was very disappointed, very discouraged, but at the end of the day, not surprised at all.
Yeah, exactly. So if a listener is wondering whether mediation could work for her situation, what's one piece of advice you'd want her to take away after listening to us today?
Well, first is that there's a good chance that it will work, right? And there's a great chance you will resolve even those high conflict issues, right? High conflict custody cases where maybe there's substance abuse, even child abuse, even domestic violence, we are still able to resolve those issues. Now, of course, those types of issues will end with what we call a safety-focused parenting plan, right? We definitely have the child or the children's best interests in mind. But, you know, if a listener says, hey, is mediation for me? Do I have a chance here to resolve everything? Absolutely. But the biggest takeaway should be that you're prepared and that you have a good idea of the finances, what each party is earning. You have a great idea of what you're looking for if you have children, what co-parenting is going to look like, what a schedule is going to look like. You know, even if you want to get a head start on dividing personal property, right? That's very helpful to walk into mediation with a list of your non-negotiables and what you're keeping, what vehicle you want to keep. And really having a good idea of those other assets like brokerage accounts, the investment accounts, okay, IRA. Mm-hmm. What are the values in all of those? We need to know those are things that we're going to be dividing. Walking in and not knowing is probably going to set you up for either a second mediation conference or an impasse, you know? Yeah. And so it's so important to be prepared. And being prepared really gives you that confidence to move forward and settle it as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Now, Julie, before we go, as you know, our show is called Women Winning Divorce. And I would love if you would share with us, what does winning at life mean to you?
So you may have heard me say this before, but for me, winning at life is really identifying my goals. What do I want to get done? Taking steps in the right direction to reach those goals and having a little celebration every time I take one of those steps, no matter how small. So that's huge for me. And that's when I feel like I'm winning for sure.
Thank you so much. And lastly, Julie, where can our listeners find you for more information and resources?
All right. Well, of course, I'm of counsel at Florida Women's Law Group, and you're welcome to find me here. Also, I am a certified divorce coach. So if you feel that divorce coaching would benefit you and help you through that emotional part of divorce, my website is mydivorcecoaches.com, and there's lots of great information on the site, and you can schedule a free consultation with me right on my website.
Well, we've reached the end of our show today. Thank you so much, Julie Roundtree, for joining us to discuss what makes a mediation successful, what makes it difficult or challenging, and what clients often don't realize before they walk in. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Heather.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.